Here's NPR's Tony Cox with your letters and comments.
Joining me is News and Notes producer Christopher Johnson. You know, Christopher, these letters are always interesting to me, and this week is no exception.
No exception, Tony. We got a lot of response to a conversation last week between Farai Chidea and law professor Patricia Williams. They discussed an alleged black-on-white hate crime in Long Beach, California. Here's what Ms. Williams had to say about how race influences the court system.
I think there's enough hate in the society to weigh us down for centuries to come. But the degree to which reverse racism is now the currency of this discourse seems to me to be driving a sense that it is blacks who are the real racists as a way of not looking at this as a kind of mutually engaging, not just black and white, but one that afflicts all of us as citizens.
Now, Michael Nicosia of St. Louis, Missouri, emailed to remind us of how the dictionary defines racism. And he added this: racism by blacks against whites is not reverse racism. It's just racism.
Meantime, Christopher, listener Waldo Walters had this spin on our coverage. He said, sarcastically, "You and your guest, Ms. Williams, did a great job of explaining how attacking people for their race is really not a big deal when it's blacks attacking whites. Thanks for focusing on how the black perpetrators are the real victims here and how this whole thing is just anti-black hype."
And Eric Fisher of Sacramento, California, emailed to ask why nobody brought up the need for unity in Long Beach. He wrote, "The real issue is this. When do we all recognize that this behavior cannot be tolerated? When do we condemn anyone who commits this type of act? Years of repression are not an excuse. Scum behavior is never justified. These three women deserve a lot more sympathy than was being expressed."
And on our Christmas Day segment on Korean Americans' role in the black hair care industry, there was a lot of criticism as well. Let's set the tone with this scene from the documentary Black Hair from filmmaker Aaron Rainin.
How many black-owned beauty supply stores are there in Chicago?
How many?
Yeah, black-owned.
I think it's over 10.
Yeah.
Lot of, you know, more.
10 stores.
Over 10, I think, yeah.
And how many Korean-owned beauty supplies?
Koreans, almost 80%. I think 300.
One listener wrote to tell us we'd included no Korean voices. Not true. John Park, owner of the Gigi Beauty Supply Stores in Dallas, Texas, was one of our panelists, and he is Korean-American.
Listener Terry Grant of Charlottesville, Virginia, had a different issue. The program could have been a springboard for an interesting discussion of the idea of ethnic or racial buyer loyalty in the face of market pressures, but it failed to explore the issues. Instead, it fell back on emotional half-truths and ugly racial accusations.
Last Friday, our roundtable discussion touched on senior discounts and apparently touched on some nerves as well. Jackie Dickinson of King Ferry, New York, wrote to say, "We missed the point. You need to think like a retailer. Stores offer the discounts to get the big spenders into the store. It has nothing to do with retailers feeling charitable toward those with lower incomes."
But Robert Shiles attributes senior citizen discounts to a broader economic trend. He wrote, "Think about this. Mom takes out divorced son and grandsons for breakfast, which now costs about $50 for four. These discounts are part of the trickle-down theory. Let's not plug it up." You have some thoughts you want to express? Drop us a line.
Or you can call us at 202-408-3330. That's 202-408-3330. Or you can email us. Just log on to npr.org and click on Contact Us. Christopher, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Tony.